Welcome, I'm John.
And I'm Ash.
And this is your childhood trauma, not your actual childhood trauma. No, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We're going to talk about Season 2, Episodes 7 through 9 this week. Guys, like, comment, subscribe, share. Tell us what you think. Really, just tell us what you think. So the first episode we need to discuss this week is Lie to Me. How did you feel about rewatching Buffy's encounter with the vampire cult?
I know this is the episode I get a lot of mixed reviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I think this was actually a very good episode in the way it portrayal, you know, especially, well, at least towards the end with the reveal of this character Ford and what his reasoning of why he's doing what he's doing. And
I hate Ford.
But to me, it felt very sympathetic of why he was doing what he... I felt very sympathetic of why
really?
He was doing what he's doing.
See, I called the Incan mummy girl sympathetic. I didn't think Ford was sympathetic. I know he was supposed to be, but I don't know. I was with Spike. I was like, I've known you for less than 2 minutes, and I can't stand you.
Yeah, I understand that, but yeah.
So, like, you know, especially when he kept monologuing all the time, and like, oh, this is what you say here. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? I mean, I don't know. You know, Buffy already had serious trust issues before her former best friend exploited her for the good of his vampire cult. So this can't help Buffy at all.
Nope.
And I also think, like, being willing to, like, kill, you know, dozens of people so that you can live isn't the most sympathetic thing in the world. Like,
that's not. But the honest thing is, I think it was to show that people, especially, you know, a man, a character that was in his situation who had no choice but to, you know, who was going to, unfortunately, mean his early demise. But unlike most people in his situation, he had an alternative. And I think it was probably show that if a lot of people had that option, you know, they would probably do anything or whatever it takes to get, be able to live that much longer.
Well, I'm just going to go on record as saying I would sacrifice myself for Buffy. I would never try to kill Buffy. by the way, back to Spike. Say what you want about demons, but Spike did make the kid a vampire. He didn't have to. He kept his word. I'm just going to say, like, good demon? I don't know. Maybe. I think vampires get a bad name. I'm going to go out on a limb and say vampires get a bad name because they eat humans. But, you know, humans eat other animals. Like, they're just higher on the food chain. Spike keeps his word. He's loyal to his woman. Like, what makes him a bad guy, really? I don't know.
He's mean.
He's not too mean. He has a... you know, he could have just killed the kid. He didn't have to actually make him a vampire.
Yeah, but I guess he's also a man of his word. But he's still a mean person.
I love Spike. It annoys me when Buffy and Angel talk about how much they love each other. They are too early in their relationship for that. They barely have spent time together. They hardly know each other. Like, oh, my love for you is an endless, eternal love. And it's like, but you barely know each other.
Teenagers, man.
Okay, she's a teenager. What's his excuse?
Look, this is the only thing, this is his, like I said last week, you know, to Buffy, like, she is his light. So he's going to love that, you know, and be attached to that. And, you know, he's Angel. Yeah. He's a tortured soul, literally. So, yeah, he's of course he's going to fall for, you know, the girl he watched from the shadows in a creepy fashion.
He did, like, comp to, like, being a stalker in this episode. He's like, yeah, I've been lurking. It's like, okay.
as long as he's self-aware. Like, you're self-aware. That's the first step.
I like Angel more, hot take. I like Angel more when he's interacting with Willow than I do when he's interacting with Buffy. Like, Angel and Willow's interactions are great to me. Especially because Willow's just, like, so awkward around him. Like, she doesn't know exactly how to handle things. Like, she wanted to play pool with him, and I thought that was kind of adorable.
Yeah, but I laughed. I was like, did you just ask this guy to play pool with you? Like, can you imagine this Angel just sitting there just shooting pool with Willow and Zeno?
No,
like,
I really can't. That's why it was great.
And they got upset when he disappeared.
No, it was Xander's fault. It was Xander's fault. One of the best things Xander's ever done was in this episode, though, when he was his like half admissions to Ford, when Ford was like talking a lot about Angel, and he just kept going like, he's an older guy, you're not wrong. But yeah, I have mixed feelings about this episode. There are parts of it I like. I thought the open was done really well, where we see Angel and Drusilla interact, and then we see it from Buffy's point of view and her reaction. Sort of invokes some mystery about Drusilla. I'm confused about Drusilla. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Cordy is clearly a great student. I really believe this. I really do. She is always active and engaged with the class. She brings an interesting perspective to what could be a boring lecture. Like, she is an engaged student. She even does, like, extra credit assignments at the library. Like, say what you want about Cordy. Like, she is a good student. I would not have expected that out of her.
Yeah, it gets established, especially, like, later on, in like season three, even in season three, that she does, you know, test well and is a good student. But one thing that always cracks me up, like when it's a class discussion or something, Cordelia's always say something, the teacher's like, well, that's the interesting
thing. It's an interesting. I have to
but
go back.
She can't say anything about it.
I have to wonder, and let's transition this into the Dark Age. Cordy's in the Dark Age as well. And I have to wonder whether her attitude is the only attitude that is logical, especially in Sunnydale. Because, like, while she seems like a narcissist, and I guess she is, like, is there a more logical attitude than the only thing that matters is me and my life when everyone and everything around you might die or go away at any given moment? Like, I mean, if you
want perspective, you like Cordy now. No. Yeah, I understand what you're saying though. But yeah, I guess in a sense, yeah, it's like I'm, you know, if I don't focus on me, you know, and my time, what's going on?
Like, lifespans are not very long in Sunnydale. You got to get out of it what you can.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like I don't have time to care about you people. I could die at any moment. So yeah.
By the way, I forgot to say my favorite scene from Lie to Me was probably the closing where Buffy asks Giles to lie to her, and he does, and you know, not very effectively, but it's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a father-ish figure. I have a hard time saying that knowing the Dark Age is up next. how do you feel about the Dark Age?
I think there was a lot of, I think structurally it was kind of, not necessarily off, but I love the story of it. You know, revealing that this guy who seems, you know, for the most part, in a sense, put together, the fact that he does have this, you know, this dark past. A lot of people have, like, some crazy...
No, not a lot of people have created a demon.
But it shows that, you know, people, even the most well-put-together people, can have, you know, have this rebellious nature, you know, in the past, at some point in their life. And for him, he kind of, I guess he, you know, realized, like, okay, I went in too deep, and then now I got to get my life back together. But his past has come back and, you know, bit him in the ass, so... He's trying to deal with it, and like, because this is his issue. He doesn't want Buffy to deal with it, because
Yeah,
It's all him.
which I mean, I think is sort of foolish on his part because I mean he's clearly incapable of dealing with it. But
Yeah, but
I
it
thought
was
this was
for a lot
in
of people.
comics. There's the term retcon, and that's sort of how this feels to me. Like they've gone back and edited things about Giles's past that doesn't really seem true if you watch earlier episodes. Like, I have a hard time, like, if I'm watching The Witch from season one, like, believing that this guy has, like, a deep history with magic when he's like, huh, what do we do about witches? What if they have a spell book? I mean,
But he said himself that, he didn't, wasn't like real deep in the magic. He was just, something he just fooled around with. So it's not like he was
I
like
just don't understand
mad
what he was
sorcerer.
doing. Like, he said he dropped out of Oxford where he was studying history. Hadn't he already gone through the Watchers Academy? Like, didn't he already have a career path? What was he doing in Oxford studying history? Like, what is that? How's that gonna, I mean, is that gonna help you be a better Watcher, I guess?
I don't know. Maybe he was planning on doing something else and then just said, fuck it.
There were so many things about this episode that didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand why a human body disappeared. Like, when the demon went out of the dead body, the body turned to, like, blue goo and then
Yeah, I think it
disappeared.
said it. I forgot what it said. It only does it when the body is already dead. But I guess when it jumps into a dead body, it. I guess not. I guess in a way, kind of eats it up. Well, not eats it up, but it just decomposes it in
Yeah.
a sense.
Well, that was just a tipping off point because then Willow finds out things about Egon or Igon that Giles seemingly does not know, even though Giles, like, summoned the demon in the first place, created it, whatever. Like, shouldn't he be the expert on the demon and not Willow? How did it change Miss Calendar's face? Why would it change her face? Like, was it not happy in a woman's face? Why was someone from the again, why was he studying history? And if Ethan needed a target, why on God's name did he pick the Slayer? Like, why not pick anybody else at all in the world?
Yeah, I guess it was assigned to him. What are you
Ethan?
talking about, Ethan?
No, not
Oh,
yet. Like,
excuse
when
me.
he
Oh,
needed
I
to
thought you
put the
meant like
tattoo
Giles.
on somebody else, like, why did he put it on Buffy? Like, wouldn't you pick somebody else to, like, fuck with? Just like a kid on the street? I mean,
Well, I guess she was there. And also, I guess also to fuck with Giles as well.
yeah, that's the only thing that makes sense about almost anything Ethan does is he really hates Giles. Miss Calendar has way too much free time at work. Like, she's just, like, strolling down the halls, bells are ringing, she's chatting with the librarian all the time.
The hallway, like, where's your class? And there's like, this a free period or something? Oh man! And then like, they didn't even try like jump away, like normally, that would
Yeah.
happen on the show, when the bell rang and shit like that. No, they was like kissing. It's like, there's students coming in. Can you like disperse?
Really? Like, Principal Snyder is not gonna stand for that
Yeah, he's definitely not.
shit.
Okay, he lost his shit.
This episode was really framed toward the end to indicate that Giles is, like, super important and really needed. But I think the events of the episode point out that he's not needed. Willow could take his place really easily and probably be better at his job than he is. Like, she does his job, like, on a moment's notice and, like, doesn't, actually solve something instead of Buffy having to solve it. Like, I mean, she's better at his job than he is, and we're supposed to believe we really need Giles around?
Yeah, look, but Willow's a student. She got classes.
She got
She can't read
classes.
for all the time.
Buffy has classes, sort of. Not really. She skips
Not really. She
them.
doesn't go to class.
She goes sometimes. She went to history a few times. She had a test recently. Yeah, poor Cordy, she's so new to this. Like, there's a moment when she's like, oh, it's all over now. Like, no.
Like, nope. Xander, I like how Xander jumped in to protect her, though. Well, tried to.
Hey, you like how Xander did what? I'm sorry.
he tried to stop Ethan and got his head. But he also, when the demon kind of dissolved into on the floor. Oh no, when it jumped out of the cage, he jumped in guard Cordy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, again, there are little things that foreshadow, like the show knows where it's going with Cordy and Xander.
Yeah.
My favorite scene was the Cordelia interrupting the police investigation. And she's just it did not really register with her at all that what she was doing was inappropriate. Like, what? I can take a hint. What's the hint? I know girls like that. That's why I love it so much, because I don't know, it seems real to me. Like, I know girls that are so involved that they don't mean to be an asshole. They just don't know any better.
What bothered me was why Buffy was so mad at Cordelia for not mentioning that there was cops talking to Giles. I'm like, homicide is not nothing. It's not anything new in Sunnydale. So
no, but it's rare that the cops investigate. It's usually just a librarian and a student. Okay.
Yeah, but the thing is, why wouldn't Cordelia just assume that Buffy already knew about something like that? Considering that, you know, she's the Slayer. You know, Giles, you know, most likely would have told her. But so there's no sense in getting mad at Cordy about it. So I don't know. I'm like, bitch, I thought you knew. You know, that's what I would have said.
Did you have a favorite scene that we haven't mentioned yet?
I like the scene at the end with Buffy and Giles. You know, it shows the parallel.
Yeah, she's trying to cheer him up.
Yeah, and shows the parallel that, you know, their destiny, you know, these are two characters who tried to run away from their destiny, and they weren't allowed to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Buffy trying, you know, I just want to be a normal girl. And yet she has to
Giles just being like, oh, I just want to be a normal, creepy old British man. And none of that.
Oh, don't hate on Ripper, okay?
The Ripper, okay. I'm just going to say, if I saw Anthony Stewart Head in a dark alley, I would not be afraid. I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay, I want to start off, what's my line, part one, which is what we're getting to for our final episode this week, by asking you about Drew. Drew is one of your favorite characters, so maybe you do know the answer to this. What exactly is wrong with Drew? We're told a lot that she needs a cure for something, but I haven't figured out what exactly her affliction is.
I'm not exactly sure. I just know that she was attacked, but I guess it was a mob that attacked her.
Yeah, I remember that, but I don't know what it did to her. I mean, she's crazy, but I think she's always crazy. That doesn't go away.
Yeah. I think it was probably some sort of magic that was done to her.
Mm-hmm.
The mob.
And of course, the cure is in Sunnydale, because why not?
I was also you know, there's another Hellmouth in
Cleveland, right? This is the biggest city on Earth, okay? Sunnydale has everything.
They have an airport now.
Stupidest thing, we didn't talk about Lie to Me, the stupidest thing on Lie to Me was, Buffy apparently walked Ford around the entire town of Sunnydale and was like, yep, that's all there is to it. What?
That would have taken all day.
No shit. I believe Buffy could do it, but, Ford's got his cancer. There's no way he's walking that 150 miles.
Oh man, that place just keep getting bigger and bigger. And there was an underground vampire. So cool. Really?
Yeah, was that in Sunnydale or is that not? I wasn't sure if that was in Sunnydale.
I wasn't sure either, but I'm just assuming that maybe it's at least close by.
Yeah, it's at least a suburb of Sunnydale.
Yeah, suburbs of Sunnydale.
Yeah, I thought one of my favorite jokes from What's My Line, well, I guess we should get into it, is when, the nerdy little guy that Spike beats up a lot is, trying to figure out the code, and he's like, it looks like Latin, but it's not, and I'm not sure it's a language at all. I think that's, a really nerdy English joke describing modern English. Because if you had showed modern English to anybody like 2,000 years ago, they would have been like, it looks like
It's like
Latin, but
English.
it's not, and I'm not
Yeah.
sure it's a language. Do you like that, I don't know, the career path, right? The career day. Did you
Yeah,
like how oddly prescient it seemed, or did it bother you? Like, corrections is a growing field. Law enforcement, polyester and brutality. Like, those things seem really accurate today, but also disturbing.
that sentence, this was like how many years ago?
Yeah,
Probably
like 18 years ago.
yeah, and the fact that it's still accurate today is kind of very disturbing. But what bothered me about the career when they posted the results to the public like that, and like publicly like that,
Well,
that Daniel was like that.
they have to go to their assigned like groups, right? They have like
Yeah, but I was.
seminars or something.
Yeah, but I like. Can y'all like give me a piece of paper and let me know what the fuck I got? I don't want everyone to see that shit, you
No, I'm
know?
good with posting it. I'm good with posting it.
No,
Yeah,
like.
like I mean that really happens. Like teachers can't give away students' actual grade numbers, but they will do just about anything else they can. It's a motivator. It's like so people won't try and not be embarrassed.
Oh gosh, no! I don't. I'm like, no. Can y'all like give me a sheet of paper, like to tell me what the fuck I got? I don't want everyone to know that I got. You know, I'm a destined to be a garbage truck or something like that. Like no, like just let me know. Either tell me in private or just write it down or something.
Yeah. How did you feel about did it seem consistent to you with the character of Spike, knowing what he thinks of himself and his history, that he would hire someone else to kill the Slayer? Like, doesn't this seem like something Spike would just really want to do himself?
Yeah, but I guess at this point he's just so frustrated and he
That
just wants
fucking
to
Slayer just ruins everything. Ruins it.
think he's at the point where he just wants Drusilla to get better. He's not even caring about the Slayer right now. His focus is on Drusilla at this point.
Well, the funny thing is, they came to Sunnydale to like kill the Slayer, right? Isn't that why they came to Sunnydale? Or was
No,
it
they
to.
came. It was for they came to Sunnydale for Drusilla's
Okay, so they
love
knew the cure was here
bonus.
all along, I guess then.
Oh yeah.
Because why else would you come to Sunnydale for the cure? Yeah, I don't know. I really appreciated Oz in this episode. I really
Oh
appreciated when like Buffy was losing his sh losing her shit
yeah.
and like is becoming paranoid. She like grabs Oz up in the hall. He responded so coolly. He's like, "What do you want me to do? What should I try?" That is
I
a
just
tense
love Oz.
woman. That is a tense person.
It is funny. It's like, and it, even though Oz can have a different perspective than a lot of other characters, it gave like probably a commentary of what the other students really do think about Buffy. Like, what the hell?
She is a
This
very
is
tense person. Well, you remember,
crazy.
like, Cordy just thought she was completely crazy, and so.
Yeah. What is your childhood trauma?
Yeah, like, I thought maybe you're in a gang. Can you help me?
Yeah, stuff like this. Like, can you help? Like, I know you're in some crazy shit. You know, you can fight, you can take care of yourself, but yeah.
Also, importantly, deep down, they have feelings. It killed me, though. It killed me, Ash. That none of the Scooby Gang thought to think of, or thought of, oh, maybe Buffy went to Angels. Like, was it really that hard to figure out? She's not at home. Where's the next place she would go?
Does anybody know where Angel lives, though?
Yeah, Xander does, because he, like, popped up and got him in the
Well,
finale of
yeah.
season one. I don't know how he knew, but he just
Yeah.
knew.
I was like, does anybody even know where Angel? Because I forgot. Yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot that was
It's him
like.
knocking on his door like he looked him up in the phone book or some shit.
Does he pay rent? Like, where is that at? Is that like underground or it's
Don't
like
know.
an
It
actual
seemed to be in
apartment?
Willy the Snitch's neighborhood because he just walked over to Willy the Snitch. By the way, there's a demon bar in Sunnydale. Didn't know if you knew
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Willy the Snitch is my man. I don't care that like Lucius Lyon would shoot him so many times. I like Willy. Willy's my man. How do you feel about Willy?
Willie, he's an awesome minor character and a minor recurring character. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's great comedic relief. He's so different than anybody else. Like, he has no delusions that he's a tough guy.
He does not try to play that at all. You know, and I love how and it's kind of sad. They're like, everybody's so rude to him.
Everybody beats the shit out of him. He's kind of, I kind of feel bad for him.
He helps you by snitching on people that can get him killed.
Yeah, but you have to beat him up for him to snitch. Like, he doesn't snitch until you beat him up, so you gotta do it.
They're so rude to him. Like, Spike was rude to the,
Well, I mean, I guess it's rude to beat him up, but, like, I mean, at least he's not getting, like, buried out in the middle of the forest and shit.
Yeah.
Like, snitching ass bitch. poor Willie, though. Poor Angel. All Angel's tried to do is help Buffy and another... Yeah. And Kendra, the Vampire Slayer.
I'm Kendra, the Vampire Slayer. That is one of my favorite lines in the series. I'm so sorry. I want to get
the look on... That was my favorite scene, is the look on Buffy's face when
Buffy's
she said
face,
that.
Yeah.
She's like, what?
Because I think that's the look on every fan's face. Like, when they first see that shit, one, they're confused about the accent. Two, they're like, wait, what? Another Slayer? What the fuck just happened?
Yeah, and Buffy's just like, is this some kind of weird practical joke? I don't understand. But yeah, I don't... I was a little bothered that... or not bothered, but... I found it really interesting, I should say, and maybe a little disturbing, that they just, like, straight up killed a person, like Buffy and Angel did. Because, like, the dude who attacked her was a person, right? And they were just like, slit that throat, done.
Yeah.
Like, wait, aren't you supposed to value all human life? Isn't that, like, your thing? I don't know.
It kind of just happened. I think it was, like, I don't know. I mean, there was assassins coming at, you know. Well, she don't know the assassin yet, but she was clearly...
She thought it was a vampire, because I thought it was a vampire, but...
easy confusion. It could have been anything.
But you wouldn't
anything.
Slit a vampire's throat, would you? Like, that
No, but, like, with decapitation, so I guess it didn't go through. Just like, it's part of the stakes.
I'm also a little bothered. I am a little bothered, again, power levels varying, by the fact that a mortal human... is, like, beating up on Buffy for a minute there. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. In the does he have superpowers that I should be aware of? Or is this, like, a normal, everyday Joe beating up on Spider-Man all of a sudden? What is happening?
Well, he's part of the great, you know, the greatest, probably the greatest assassin.
Okay, he's a good assassin. He's probably a really good fighter. But, like, he's not a superhero. He's not a supervillain. He's just a dude.
We don't know what he has. There's a reason why he's in this elite squad.
How do you get in this squad? I might be interested in being in the Order of Turok. Sounds like a good clique to be in. Like, nobody's fucking... Hey, man, where you hang out? I'm in the Order of Turok. No shit, huh? Let me buy you a drink.
Yeah, I'm about to say, drinks on me.
Alright, did you have a favorite scene from, I think you just told it, with the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah. That line is so... Oh, I just want to bring up, like, why couldn't there be a stunt woman for Kendra...
Why did she have to be Jamaican? Why didn't they just let her be from Cleveland or something?
Well, I guess it was to show that, you know, Slayers could be anywhere in the world. They didn't want to bring on another American Slayer. I guess it would have been...
Okay, well, why didn't they get somebody who could do a Jamaican accent then?
Well, it's in my trivia, but the Jamaican accent was tacked on very last minute. It was Bianca Lawson. They told her to try to do one. You know, the night before shooting, and the day before shooting, so she didn't have time to actually work on it. So it was very last minute.
Well, I don't know. I feel like I really feel like the Jamaican accent is a mistake in hindsight. That's just me.
Yeah, clearly, yeah. That was a fuck up with the, you know, the cast and the crew and everything. That was a fuck up. I'm not gonna fault Bianca Lawson for that, because, you know, that was...
I mean, it's not solely on her. It is her accent, but It's also a creative problem that, like, they decided, hey, girl who doesn't really do Jamaican accents, why don't you do a Jamaican accent for your run on our show? Okay, I guess. So hit us with some more trivia. I guess that's it's trivia time because I think we're done with What's My Line.
Yeah. So we're gonna start with Lie to Me. It references the Divinyls song I Touch Myself, mm-hmm. which was hilarious.
Buffy didn't know what that was.
This is
and Willow just figured it out.
Yeah. Oh gosh. That used to happen to me a lot. Like, when you're a kid and singing, like, highly inappropriate songs, but you don't realize it, and then you get older and re-sing, you're like, holy shit.
No, I think I was just a fucked up kid, because I always realized.
This is the first appearance of Chanterelle, I think her name is, mm-hmm. but her character name, the character name changes, you know.
Yeah, she's Amy, ultimately, I think.
Yeah. Scooby's finally become aware of Drusilla, and also the connection between Angel and Drusilla gets revealed, as well as their first on-screen interaction. The book that's stolen in this episode becomes significant, obviously, in the two-parter mm-hmm. for What's My Line. Willow invites Angel into her house this episode.
Mistake.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yes. Buffy tells Ford that, contrary to what he believes about vampirism, and quote, you die in a demon sets up shop in your old home.
Yeah.
And it walks and it talks and remembers your life, but it's not you. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting considering that still at this point, she still believes that, you know, demon, you know, takes over and stuff like that.
I don't know if she does or it's what she tells herself. Because I remember yeah. there was this point in Lie to Me where she and Giles were referring to vampires as it's and not he or she.
Yeah.
And that made me think, like, oh, like, they completely dehumanize them because it's a lot easier to just go around slaughtering them. I get
it. Yeah. And that, but I believe her viewpoint obviously changes, throughout the series, considering, for most of the characters, considering, you know.
Well, who changes her viewpoint? Let's be clear. Spike is the outlier.
Well, I guess her viewpoint changes before that, though. Like, think about Harmony. You know, she realized that this was a person. She doesn't treat Harmony as a regular vampire.
Did she ever encounter Harmony the vampire? Harmony became a vampire in the season 3 finale, and then she went to Angel. Like, Harmony showed back up in season 5, I think. Or 4.
She shows up season 4. That's okay. When they discover that she's a vampire.
Okay. I just mostly remember Harmony on Angel after she becomes a vampire. But yeah, she was Spike's, like, sometime paramour.
Oh, gosh. That was a hot mess relationship. Jason Gere, I don't know how to pronounce his name, the guy to play Ford. Him and Sarah Michelle Gellar reunite 8 years later to make the movie The Grudge, which was in 2004. Jeff Pruitt, the stunt supervisor until season 5, cites Lie to Me as his favorite episode.
Well, he's weird.
Xander says the line, once more with tension, and which is interesting considering that.
Once more with feeling.
The fake vamp that greets Buffy at the club is Todd McIntosh. I don't know how to say that. Is the show makeup supervisor. And for this episode, it was 3.4 million households on the original airing.
Cool.
For the Dark Ages, the website, the AV Club, noted that this episode was a good companion to Lie to Me to further explore the themes of good and evil and how light and dark can exist in the same person. This is the first episode to establish details about Giles' wild youth that will come up again throughout the series. Also, the first appearance of his apartment which become the Scooby headquarters in season four. In a season three episode, Enemies, Giles tells Xander that his monetary expense can be reimbursed with a receipt. It may have just been a joke, considering that Buffy had to spend her own money to remove the tattoo placed by Ethan Reed. This episode provides another example of Willow assuming leadership while Buffy and Giles are unavailable. This will also happen several episodes in, throughout the series, as most importantly, between season 5 until the beginning of season 4. This episode, Giles and Jenny's relationship is forever changed because of the events of this episode. Angel saves Jenny's life, only for Chazzy to strike later in the same season. This is another reappearance of Ethan Rain. In the comics, apparently, Buffy and Willow play the Anywhere But Here game again, where Buffy's fantasy is to be approached by Daniel Craig on the beach, while Willow, who is now out lesbian, fantasy is to be trapped with Tina Fey in a cabin during a snowstorm.
Tina Fey? Like, really? And that, I don't know.
Hey,
I like Tina Fey. I just don't. She's not on the top of my list, but I'm not. I'm not an out lesbian, so maybe it's a different taste. I don't know.
Yeah, lesbians tend to like Tina Fey. she's popular with them. the Igon reappears in the Angel Save comic. Xander predicts in this episode that Will become a watcher, when in fact it's Xander who later trains to be a watcher.
In the comics.
Yeah. The young photo of Ripper with the bass guitar is obviously, well, it's fake. It's Anthony Stewart head superimposed onto a photo of Sid Vicious.
Yeah, I was clear that it wasn't really Anthony Stewart.
Giles states, and the rest, the line, and the rest is silence, which is a crucial line in the movie. It's also a reference to Hamlet, as his dying words are, the rest is silence. When Cordelia states that she'll be in therapy till she's 30, Charisma Carpenter, actual age at the time, was 27.
So not that long, just a couple years.
Yes, a few years. Xander refers to his uncle, Rory, being a taxidermist. His uncle actually shows up in season 6 and points out the poorly stuffed animal head at Xander's wedding. Possessed Jenny says to Giles, the line, "Was it good for you?" Another character later in season writes the same line, and a character related to Jenny's blood to Buffy. And this episode was 3.7 million. Households during the original airing.
Mm-hmm. Little up.
Episode What's My Line Part 1. This is the episode that shows the result of Buffy's death in Prophecy Girl involving the Slayer line. In season 1, Darla asks Angel if he believes Buffy will ever kiss his true face. And obviously in this episode, she does. On Angel's table in an apartment, there are two ashtrays, although at this point he's never seen smoking. Will and Oz finally meet. The term Scooby Gang is used for the first time in the show. Willie's place is seen for the first time, as well as the character. The spectacled vampire Dalton later appears in the episode Surprise. It's revealed that there are 43 churches in Sunnydale.
basically a small southern town. 43 churches everywhere in Mississippi.
Yeah. Willow has frog fear, ranidophobia. Buffy's career day test suggests that she should become a police officer. Season 9 comic, she'll end up working for the San Francisco Police Vampire Task Force. The hold of the plane in which Kendra arrives and later gets turned upside down is made later in the series as a sewer.
I don't understand why Kendra beat that guy up. Like, she could have just, like, walked out. It's not like he was attacking her. He was just like, hey, what are you doing here? Bam, bam. Teach that motherfucker to ask questions.
Yeah,
shit.
That was, I don't know, I guess not get caught.
In Jamaica, they're fucking rude, Ash. They're fucking rude.
Apparently. this is the first episode written by Marty Noxon and the only episode by Howard Gordon. And this episode had a 3.5 rating. That's it.
All right. Well, hopefully you guys will join us again next week. We do this every week. Again, just like, comment, subscribe, or share. We would appreciate any of those, and we appreciate you for listening. Until next time, I'm John.
And I'm Ash.
And we're out.